We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Running Kobe White to the rim! Miles Bridges!
Ooh. I'm sorry. Miles Bridges, how do you do?
How do you do?
Hum diddly dee with the dunk.
Andre Drummond knocked it free, and Torrey Craig!
Donovan is furious right now,
Drummond
and Andre Drummond is hurt after all that.
Man, you got to be kidding me.
If that wasn't the most emblematic possession of the Bulls season, I don't know what is.
Wow.
That was a great moment, and we are delighted, Molly and Haw here, to welcome in Adam Amin, the TV voice of the Bulls, and we are hoping for the best, Adam, tonight. I can't wait to get your take. How are things going, Adam? Welcome to the show.
Good to hear from you boys, as always, man. Everything's going well. We'll see. We'll see in a topsy-turvy year what kind of topsy-turvy game we're going to get.
Yeah, it's so funny because obviously we know Jimmy is out of this game. And playoff Jimmy is a thing. He hates it, but it is a thing, and he's earned a reputation. We know what happened last year. We know how good he was, and now he's not available. And you look at this game, and the Bulls played them okay this year, right? They split in the four games, and you would think there would be an advantage, and yet the fine folks in Vegas don't seem to think so.
Not shocking, right? The home team will get the favorite line, and Miami always has this tendency to be well coached because they have a really good coach. When they get to this time of year, you know, I think Eric Spoelstra might be one of the best X and O coaches in the NBA. I think he's right up there with guys like Nick Nurse, and you know, with the Popoviches of the world and with the Kerrs of the world. He's just a really heady guy. And he understands tendencies, and he understands exploiting weaknesses. And I just feel like he is right up there with some of the best. And they're always well prepared. And it's hard to prepare some nights for the Bulls because of how, you know, I know I've been using this word a whole lot in the last month, and I'm sure people are like, yeah, we get it, man. You read the dictionary, but mercurial to describe this team. And I feel like Spoelstra just has his team always ready to figure out what the Bulls are going to lean on any given night. He's a really good adjustment coach. So I'm sure that's part of the reason why Miami is still favored in this game.
That's a great word to use, Adam. I agree with that. Mercurial for this Bulls team, which has played to its level of competition often throughout the season, a frustrating season. You mentioned Eric Spoelstra. They're going to adjust, I would think. They're going to see Kobe White with 42 points the other night. I wonder what that will do and how they'll defend him. What do you think the key is for the Bulls offensively? When will you know if this is going to be a good night?
I think if you're going to see early ball movement, because like you talked about, Miami does such a good job of trying to take away your strength, and they're such a well-coached defensive team, even without Jimmy Butler. So are the Bulls moving? You know, this is a team that when they look good offensively, they're a fun basketball team to watch and to call because the ball's popping off and the ball's moving. There's guys driving and attacking. And I feel like we saw that. We saw that for the most part. We saw a lot of attacking against Atlanta. Now, again, Atlanta is a very porous defense. They're very, they struggle at the point of attack. They struggle in on-ball defense. They struggle in one-on-one. So there are a lot of blow-bys. I don't know if it's going to be that easy tonight, because I just think Miami has better foot speed. I think they help they're better rotationally. Their help defense is just much better. So I get the feeling that if the Bulls are moving the ball early and you're seeing early player movement, that tends to be a really good sign for how this Bulls team is going to look over the course of at least for a half. You know, I'm hoping that that's the case, that they can establish a little bit of movement early and try to take advantage of some of the help tendencies that Miami always seems to show defensively. And this is going to be a physical game. You know, every time the Bulls have played the Heat, Stacey always points it out, Bill Wennington always points it out, Miami gets the reputation of being a great defensive team, and rightfully so, but they also play very physically. And they're going to get a little bit of a lighter whistle often. Again, I don't know how it's going to be officiated tonight. When you get to this point of the year and the way we saw it in the last week and a half of the season, officials were swallowing the whistle a little bit more, almost as if they were preparing for playoff basketball. Because again, as we know, when you get to this point of the year, the games are much more physical and they're called and officiated as such. So if Miami's playing physically, the Bulls have to take advantage of a little bit of ball movement and player movement. They have to get past some of the lines of defense that this Miami team is so known for, and how physically they play is going to be a factor in this game.
So a year ago, you know, the Bulls win a game and then they get to the Heat. We were having a conversation how we believed after that first game, wow, there's been a changing of the guard. It's now Zach LaVine's team, and what is he going to do in the second game? And well, he didn't do much, and it was DeMar that was the guy that kept him in that game for a while, and then they just kind of stopped at the end of the game, and Miami gets through them, and obviously we know what happened then. Here we are, Bulls going to Miami. Coby White is coming off a career high for his performance against Atlanta. As you say, totally different step up in defense. I would imagine that Coby is going to have a more difficult time. What do you need to see from him to feel like the Bulls can win this game?
Well, can he be the playmaker then? You know, if he's not, if it's going to be harder for him to be a scorer against a better defense in Miami tonight, is if it's going to be harder for him to get some blow-bys, if it's going to be harder for him to, you know, penetrate, if it's going to be harder for him to probe defenses, can he be a playmaker? Can he set other guys up? You know, and there are nights where I do get the feeling that Coby has figured out, or at least has better sense for when to be a scorer and when to be a playmaker. This is one of the reasons that you do like having a strong combo guard in that role, in that lead guard role. And again, I know a lot of different guys have been handling the ball. They played Coby off the ball at various points this season. And obviously we saw that a little bit the other night where, you know, DeRozan would control a little bit, et cetera. I feel like for him, can he be a playmaker if the shots either aren't falling or he's just not able to get them the way he was getting them in all these blow-by situations? And obviously he's expanded his range. He took that deep three against DeJounte Murray because he, you know, I think he gave him a little bit too much space, and Coby was probably a foot or two behind the three-point line, maybe a little further, and just took a deep three and knocked it down. If you know, those shots aren't falling, or he's not getting that same blow-by you know, consistently tonight, then you got to be able to get to be a playmaker. And again, we go back right back to ball and player movement, right? This has been a problem for the Bulls. If they become a stand around team and a watch team that just watches, you know, either DeRozan or White or whomever, you know, try to operate in isolation, this is going to be a team that's going to struggle in efficiency, and you cannot have an inefficient night against a Miami team. I think they're third in scoring defense this year. I think they give up like 108 a game. The league average is like 114, 115. So he's got to be able to get a feel for the game early. And if it is a night where he has to be more of a playmaker than a scorer, then he's got to be willing, and he's got to put himself in position. And the guys around him have to help him out and move around and get the spots on the floor to allow some of these passes to get through and to get easier baskets. Because their three-point shooting is so up and down. You have I never have any idea how they're going to be find the three-point line. And as we know, they're not a high-volume team. They only made 11.5 a game this year. They made 11 the other night against Atlanta. They held Atlanta to 11 made threes, and that was part of the reason that they were in control for a good chunk of that game.
So with Jimmy Butler out, likely rookie Jaime Jaquez will start in place of him. I do think that's probably an advantage Bulls, but he's also a pretty good defender. So I look at the other matchup. I wonder, Tyler Hero had 25 against the Sixers. He's going to get more shots and look for more opportunities tonight. He can get hot. He is a high-volume three-point shooter. You know that. How do you think the Bulls counter defensively? Alex Caruso looks like he could try it. You expect him to do that because he's a gamer, but he's also compromised. Or is it going to be Io, who is, you know, the guy who is the Trae Young slayer, and he's the guy who did the job the other night and certainly could be up to the task. What do you think the Bulls will do defensively against Hero?
I mean, you have to get in his space. You know, that's the biggest thing. And that's a big thing with multiple guys for the Heat, right? That's the thing with Duncan Robinson, who didn't play the other night. You know, he's missed a handful of games. I was a little surprised. I didn't know if there was an injury issue or what, but it looked like it was a coach's decision. But, you know, you have to get into his airspace. I don't think it's been a typical Tyler Hero season, I would say, you know, just in terms of kind of up and down. He's been hurt a lot of the season. I think he missed half the year, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think he played – I think he missed all four games against the Bulls this season. So, you know, his injury issues were pretty apparent over the course of the year. You have to get into his airspace. There is no question. And I think Ayo – you mentioned Ayo, David. I think the biggest thing with him is he has a tendency to really be physical with guys who are a little bit smaller. And that's part of the reason that he's been so successful against Trae Young. So I think it was 8-2 or 9-2 or something now in his career against Trae Young. Like, he's just so physical and he's lengthy and he's got, you know, deflection ability when he's playing on the ball defensively, and he's gotten stronger this season. I think that's one of the reasons I feel like his jump has been so impactful this year. So I think on the defensive end, his physicality and his length at the point of attack, it really helped. So you have to get into his airspace. Yeah, Caruso's, assuming he's going to play, like, he'll be right there. But Caruso's going to be busy helping. He's going to help on Bam Adebayo at multiple points of the night over the night as well, I'm sure. So I think it's up to Ayo to be physical and to get into the space of Tyler Hero. We saw that at the end of the game against the Sixers, against Philadelphia, when Batum came over and closed out that airspace for that final block. Like, that was a big deal to just get into Hero. You know, he did not have a great shooting night. I think he was 4 of 14 the other night. And he made 9 shots and took like 25 or 26 shots over the course of the night. And a lot of that was made difficult by what Philadelphia was doing defensively with their length. And obviously he didn't have a great shooting night. I don't expect him to have just a terrible shooting night, but you have to make it a tough night on him by getting into his space, being physical. Don't foul. You know, the Bulls, at their best, are good at closing out the three-point line. But I think that was the biggest factor during the season, is closing out the three-point line. You know, I mentioned that Atlanta game and how the Bulls made about 11.5 threes a game this season. And I always looked at, all right, well, if the Bulls are only as a low-volume three-point shooting team are only making 11.5 a game, what are their numbers when they hold teams to 11? And what are the numbers when teams hit 12 or more? And I think they're 21-4 this season when they hold teams to 11 made threes or fewer. Like, that's a wild number to win 21 out of 25 games when you actually hold a team to 11 threes or less. And then the winning percentage is under 40 when they give up 12 or more. So that's a story for the season, and that's a story for tonight, especially when in regards to Tyler Hero.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah, I think that when you think about, you know, having a guy like Kevin Love come in off the bench, the only fear of that is that he can get hot from three-point land, right? And he's a big guy who's open. You got to make sure that there isn't – you're defending the three-point line to the point where there isn't some weird event that occurs where somebody comes in and hits 5 or 6 of those things.
I just feel like that, you know, role players are – I said this on the pregame show the other night with the guys. Like, in postseason play, details – like, being focused on your details on the defensive end of the floor is what takes opposing role players out of a game, right? Like, certain players, like a Jimmy Butler, who, again, like, if he were playing, like, we'd be probably having a different conversation.
Right.
But, like, players like Butler, who are just so capable of overtaking a game offensively, like, sometimes you just have to – you can have a great defensive game plan, and those guys are just going to do what they do. Like, they're special players. And like you said, I think playoff Jimmy is also a real thing, even though he might not like it. He's always delivered, you know, this time of year, especially over the last 5 years. So that you give credit to those types of players. You go, all right, well, Jimmy scored this, or Jason Tatum did that, or Jalen Brunson did this, whatever, whoever the star might be. But detail-oriented defensive game planning and execution is what takes guys like Kevin Love, or takes a Duncan Robinson if he plays, or, you know, takes a Caleb Martin or a DeLon Wright. You know, it takes those guys out of the game because they're hoping for mistakes. Role players are hoping for you as a defense to make a mistake so that they can exploit whatever disadvantages that you have and whatever advantages you've given them. So if you're focused on details when guys come into games, when you're focused on scout, when you know exactly what this guy is capable of doing off the bench, and you take that one or two things, you know, those one or two things away, that's what takes role players out of games. And the Bulls struggled with that last year, right? Like, Max Strus went off.
Yep.
That hurt. That hurt the Bulls significantly. Obviously, Butler had a great game, but I don't think anybody was really thinking, well, Max Strus is going to go out for 31. And he did. And the Bulls were really bad in terms of details. Like, you know what this kid does. He comes in off the bench, shoots threes, and makes them, and plays tough defense. So, you know, again, I don't think Miami is going to have as easy of a time without Jimmy Butler because they're not as deep as they were last year. But those details are what takes those other players out of a game.
Enjoyed your stint on the pregame show on NBC Sports Chicago. Missed you on the broadcast, obviously, for network reasons. It wasn't on NBC Sports Chicago. You were there as a fan. You were in the building when it became a special place, and it can be. And it just indicates how hungry this fan base is for something of that means something, of significance. What was it like to be there in a very different role?
It's been a long time since I've been in that role and just sat in a seat and watched the game. And I think I was sad actually that I wasn't calling it because the energy was so heavy, you know, and it became that place that you were just talking about with, you know, a little bit of, I would imagine a little bit of nostalgia in your voice and a little bit of, a thought of the halcyon days of when this team was a consistent playoff contender. And again, this city deserves to see it, you know, because of the standard that was set a long time ago now. Like, it's more than 30 years now at this point, and a quarter of a century since the last title. Like, those moments have been fewer and far further between lately. And I think this is a city that deserves to have a team that's at least competitive in the playoffs. So I would love to see them win. We wouldn't do game one in Boston because of network things, but, you know, we'd be back for game two. And then next, I think Saturday would be game three. Can you imagine a Saturday night at the United Center for a playoff game? Like, that's the type of atmosphere that would scare a number one seed that's won 60 games, like a Boston team. You know, the Bulls have played tough games at home. They do feed off of a lot of the energy in that building. And you got that sense, especially at the end of the first quarter, especially in the third when they started to make the run, and definitely in the fourth when they started to put it away. You got that feeling again. And I mean, it is a dangerous playoff atmosphere when you have a hungry fan base. And I think that's what this city deserves to see. They deserve to see more, you know, moments like that and experience more nights like the one we saw the other night against Atlanta.
This is such an opportunity for the Bulls. Not only do you have this game, but Jimmy Butler's not there. And that would seemingly be to your advantage. Everyone is, well, it doesn't matter. You wind up with Boston. But, I mean, wouldn't that be good for the city? As you say, the crowd will go crazy. I don't know if they'll be there all night, but I want to see it. I want to see the Bulls take advantage of that opportunity. And then, again, it doesn't look good, but who knows? Who knows what? Because when you judge the season, you're going to be kind of, well, you know, can they win an actual series? Then you'd say it's a success. But hell, get there.
Yeah, get there. And listen, I'm with you. And I've said this. I think I said this on the final game of the regular season. Like, is this an underachieving team this year? Yeah. You know, this is not a team based on talent that should be a 40-win, a 39-win team. But I also give them a lot of credit because they looked dreadful those first 19 games, and then the injuries happen. And you know, I was one of the people that was worried. You know, I'm like, oh boy, well, if they if they've struggled this much and now you're without, you know, a key piece in Zach LaVine, and then 2 months after that, he gets, you know, he re-aggravates an injury, and then a week after that, in late January, Patrick Williams goes down. Like, of course, I try to be a realist more than anything else. So I look at this team and I go, well, what are they going to do? So, but even to get to this point, I do think is impressive. Is it a success? Probably not, because I do think the fans have higher expectations than that. But if that's the start to your season, 5-14, and if those are the injuries that you suffer, where LaVine and Williams, who, again, for their up and down nature, and for, you know, especially Patrick Williams, for the up and down play that we've seen, like, the fact is those are two really talented guys and really important pieces and two really good basketball players and two guys that the guys on this team really seem to like and rally around and encourage. So for them to play the way they did the second half of the year and to even be in this position, I do think you have to give some credence to the coaching staff and to these players, and, you know, give a nod to the front office as well for bringing a player like Javonte Green back and recognizing that, you know, a player like that who is grinding through the G League deserves to have another opportunity because of what he brings to the organization and what he brings to this roster. Like, I give them a lot of credit for that because it's hard. It's hard to win in the NBA. We've had five different champions in the last 5 years. It's the first time since the 1970s that there hasn't been a repeat champion in a five-year period. This is a hard league to win games. We're talking about the Nuggets potentially being eliminated, even though the whole year, the whole discussion was, well, they're going to repeat. They're going to repeat. And I'm sure they're liable to do so. They're certainly capable of it.
Yeah.
But I think as hard as it is to win in this league, I give this team a lot of credit for getting to this point. Is it where you want to be? Of course not. You don't want to be an eight seed or be in the eight, you know, the eight seed game fighting for your playoff lives. But this is where the Bulls are. And if you're there, if you're here, make the most of your situation. Try to make the playoffs. Get some, you know, opportunities to maybe shock Boston for a game or two and see what happens.
Great stuff, Adam. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate what. Thanks.
That is Adam Amin.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.